I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 106. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Final farewell for President Carter is underway in Georgia right now. People are lining the streets. The procession is underway. The motorcade is en route to the Georgia State Capitol. President Carter lived to be 100 years old, president of these United States, and a great humanitarian. You'll be hearing more about this at the top of the hour newscast, as well as throughout this show, as we bring you the latest on updates as these proceedings are taking place right now during our broadcast. And what's taking place here in Minnesota is starting January 1st. We got some new laws. Yeah. And you can't say after today's show that you didn't know about them, because we're going to tell you all about them. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law is going to be joining us next hour to talk about some of those laws that will be impacting all of us, since we do live in the great state of Minnesota. But there is something that I really appreciate. A new law that goes into effect, that is in effect right now. It's called the Wage Transparency Law. Yep, starting January 1st, Minnesota's Wage Transparency Law is going into effect. What is it? What does that mean? What do you have to go around and tell your coworkers how much you make when they ask? Is that what it is? Is that the new law? Does your employer have to post everybody's salary? Should you be looking for that on Monday? What is the wage transparency law, and how will it impact companies and prospective employees? My buddy John Naughton with VerseSeek is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you and I have not seen each other since we went out to lunch at, where do we go? We were at... No, the Normandy.
We've had a couple of the most enjoyable launches of my professional career, but the most recent one was the Normandy. You're right.
You know, my goal whenever I go out to lunch with somebody, number one is to pay, because I'm the table sponsor. God's blessed me to be a blessing. Number two is to make sure that people have more fun with me than anybody else, because for me, it's a competition, so that the next lunch they go to is always a letdown. Like, I want to be the standard. I want to be like the most fun, even if we're talking business, the most fun, most engaging, and most enjoyable lunch. And I think when we were at the Normandy, I was fussing because they didn't have any black people on the wall. And I think it was February. And so I was like, you know what, you need some black people on the wall for Black History Month. And so I got this big giant blow up poster of myself and put it in a frame. Do you remember this? And
yeah,
I took it down to the door.
We walked away saying, I wonder if she'll do it. And I said, I'm willing to bet that pretty soon there's a picture of Shaletta up on that wall. And sure enough, you manifested into reality here. So kudos to you.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure after Black History Month last year, they took it down. But since February is coming up again, I'm going to go and check it out and see if they're going to put it back up. We'll see what happens. Now, you got to tell everybody about VerseSeek. That's a company that you're with. You guys do some amazing things. And so I just want to make sure that people know that you're an expert, because I'm going to talk to you about this wage transparency law, but I need to let everybody know you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, so VerseSeek is a locally owned and operated hiring and placement firm based here in the Twin Cities. So three primary legs would be executive search, professional recruiting, and then interim solutions, being hourly contract-based roles that are typically less than a year in duration. So we aim to serve both companies and clients and candidates, I guess, in a variety of ways.
And how long has Verseek been around?
There's legacy agencies, but Verseek as its own standalone entity is about 12 years old now.
And what is your role at the company, John?
Yeah, so I am the director of client partnerships for our finance and accounting interim solutions team. So breaking all that down, I work with clients only on finance and accounting roles, because that's the bulk of my academic career as well as my professional career is finance roles. Hopefully, as you talk about being the expert, knowing what it's like to do that work and being able to help clients get the support they need, more quickly and efficiently.
Now, we've got this wage transparency law that went into effect on January 1st here in the state of Minnesota. Exactly what is that?
Yeah, so, real high level, it applies to employers with more than 30 employees. And what it is going forward, those employers, whenever they post job postings, required to include salary ranges and kind of a general description of benefits and other compensation that come with that. So high level, the intent by putting some of these figures out there would be to, create fairness, friendly transparency, and improve equity.
And, we just finished talking about that. Eric Roper with the Star Tribune was on just last hour, and we were talking about pay equity and opportunities, especially for people in communities of color. I have been sitting right next to somebody at a radio station, and we are doing the exact same job. And because he is a white man and I'm a black woman, he was making almost double of what I was making, and I was probably doing a little bit more work. And so this has been a problem in our country since there's been a country. People have complained about it. We have Women's Pay Equity Day, and they talk about how many years it would take for women to earn the same amount as their male counterparts, when really it could just take a day. It could really just take one day for people to just do right. And so, as a professional who works with placement, this wage equity law, do you think it's going to make an impact? Do you think it will do the thing that they set out to have it for it to do, is to create some fairness when we start talking about pay with regard to women and men and people of color and making all things equal?
Yeah, that's certainly the hope, right? I think we can all acknowledge there's a long way to go and a lot that is encompassed there. But as I think about it from a candidate benefit perspective, the things that come to mind are, to your point, reducing bias, right? We've all seen the stats of the wage gaps for different groups of people relative to the, to call it the white male, but increased fairness, right? By going in to an interview or going to a job application process and just knowing the general range, hopefully that creates the opportunity to negotiate salaries more effectively. And then, from that candidate perspective again, and hopefully it applies to most listeners out there, it's more efficient with the time, because we've all heard stories where someone goes through the process and interviews and does everything they need to do, and you get to the final, kind of the offer phase, and the number they hear from the employer is far less than either they were hoping for, or maybe they can even get buy on, right? And it just feels like it wasn't a great use of time or money for either side there. So hopefully that's one more benefit for candidates as well.
And do you think this will have a trickle down effect where employers who have less than 30 employees will also start doing something like this? A lot of times when these kind of laws go into effect, even though it doesn't impact one business like it does the other, everybody pretty much kind of follow suit.
I would think so. I think that number's there really because some of these smaller companies maybe don't have the resources for it, and they don't want to impose those, compliance issues with them. But reality is, if you're a 20-person company and you're looking to recruit talent from somebody that's a 50-person company, those individuals are aware of kind of what those general salary ranges are for a role, and it makes sense to put that out there, just so kind of all cards are on the table when starting the process of bringing in new talent.
Now, speaking of all cards on the table, I'm going to ask you this because, you know, I'm a creative, so I've always been in news and broadcasting and journalism. That's the only job I've ever had. And I've always wondered, and maybe you have the answer to this, maybe you don't. Why has salary always been such a damn secret? Why are we always so secretive and companies so private? Why do we have to even have a law? Why can't they say, you know what, this is what we're paying this person. This is what we're paying for this position, and this is what we are paying for that position. You know, why isn't the system set up so that there's honesty and clarity and fairness?
Yeah, that's a great question, and not one I would have a specific answer for, right? I know that I'll just give personal anecdotes. You know, I've never really shared with friends even, hey, here's what I make. It's not something I throw out there. So that there may be something with that with the, you know, from an employer perspective as well. Certainly as you're plugged in with different companies, you just have an understanding of what companies have a reputation for paying really well. And maybe it's, one thing to point out, it's not always just the salary or the hourly wage. Sometimes it's that full package, right? And articulating some of the benefits that come with the role as part of this law. But for example, it's the health benefits. It's PTO, right? An individual mm-hmm. might value having extra, vacation days over, a higher salary. So just being able to kind of put all that out there. But to your question, yeah, it's just, it feels like that's been the norm, and maybe this is one step in, advancing past that.
Well, John Naughton with Verseek, thank you so much for joining us. For anybody who has questions, how can they get in touch with you or find out information about Verseek?
Certainly could go to verseek.com. So it's VERSIQUE.com. Links to my information's there. You can also find me on LinkedIn. To our website, I'd say we also have, we publish a couple annual salary guides for different roles. So as I think about people just mm-hmm. benchmarking to what they're either making or as an employer, what they're paying, these are some other resources that people can use to say, hey, what should we be expecting out in the market?
Well, thank you so much for all the work you do for shining some light on this new law and helping us do our part to create a more fair and equitable work environment. Happy New Year, my friend, and we will go back to the Normandy in February, see if they got my picture up.
We will hold them accountable. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. And when we come back, I got to apologize. I did something yesterday that made some people mad. And you know what? I was wrong. And I need to let y'all know what that was. So y'all better stick around.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Honey, let me just say, I apologize. I'm so sorry. So yesterday, I was on the Chad Hartman show, and I was joking with my friend Chad because I went up to the station last week and brought him some banana pudding, and he was not there. And so I gave his banana pudding away to Lindsay Peterson, and he was like, well, why didn't you just come back? And I said, out of my mouth, because I have a white men limit. I don't want to visit more than two white men a week. And everybody lost it. Got so upset. They were so angry. They were texting. They were calling. They were sending notes. And so I want to say to anybody that I offended with my words, I apologize. I'm so sorry. My whole life and existence is built on bringing light and love and laughter to people. And if you are around me and you are not laughing and you don't feel my light shining and you are not lifted up, then I am not doing my job in the space that I've been given. And I don't ever want to take for granted any of the opportunities that God has given me. And I look at WCCO as an amazing opportunity to engage and enlighten people and bring connection together, spread awareness. I mean, how else would you find out about Ghost of a Chance, about the story of a black couple in 1917 who had a home in Minneapolis on the South Side, and their struggle to get employment, their struggle to keep their home? Those are struggles that black people are still facing today. How would you know about small business owners here in the Twin Cities that you can go and support, like Rosalind's Candles over on Grand Avenue, as she went out of her way and out of her price point to get a brick and mortar storefront on Grand Avenue so she could bring that community back to life? You know, there are stories that I talk about and things that I shine a spotlight on that nobody else is going to be talking about on WCCO radio. And so I don't ever want to take that for granted. And listen, Chad didn't ask me to apologize. Dave Harrigan didn't ask me to apologize. The boss is on vacation, so he ain't even seen y'all notes yet. He'll see them when he gets back. This is just me being mature enough and a grown woman enough and praying hard enough and having a sensitive enough spirit to know when I have done something that offends somebody to say that I'm sorry on my own show. And so I wanted to take this time. If you were listening yesterday and you were offended and the joke that I told fell flat and made you feel some kind of way, then I'm going to stand on business and tell you that I'm sorry. Now, if you laughed and you had a good time and you got the joke and you know me and you're all good, keep it moving. Nothing to see here. Don't even worry about it. But I need those of you who took it to heart to the point where you pulled over in your car and sent a text message, or you took time to send an email to the boss that he'll get next week when he come back from vacation, or you called in and chewed poor Dave Harrigan's ear off. I want y'all to know that I absolutely apologize. And I do not want you to be upset with Chad or Dan or the boss or CCO radio, because I'm not going anywhere. We're going to work this thing out together. We're family. This is the Good Neighbor Station. And sometimes you get mad at your neighbor. Sometimes they do something you don't like. They might not even know they've offended you. But when you bring it to their attention, if they continue to offend you, then you can have a problem with your neighbor. But if you are really a good neighbor and your offense is real and you bring that information to your good neighbor and you say, listen, you said something, you did something and I didn't like it, and they shoot you the finger or they flip you off or they roll their eyes or they smack their teeth and keep it moving, then, yeah, you got something against your good neighbor now. But if your good neighbor says, you know what, I'm sorry, you were offended, and I did not mean for that to happen, please accept my apology and let me do better next time. Give me an opportunity to earn your trust again. Do what you're going to do. Are you going to be unforgiving? I mean, you're going to church tomorrow. How are you going to hold unforgiveness in your heart? You're going to the mosque. You're going to the synagogue. You know, you want to claim to be a good person. You can't hold unforgiveness in your heart unless you just, you know, want to be mad and mean and hateful and ugly. Because I don't know about you, I have done enough stuff in my life that when somebody asks me for forgiveness, I'm very quick to do it, because I know that when I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do, I want God to forgive me. And the Bible says, hey, how many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. So this is the time, the one time. I may have 7 more. Mm-hmm. Because I'm already on my 5th second chance at WCCO radio. Really, I am. I probably should have been let go about 50, 11 times by now. But I'm really good at what I do. And what I do is bring light and love and laughter. And what I didn't do is bring that to some of you on yesterday. So again, please accept my apology. Know that my intent is to love and entertain anyone who listens to me, whether it is on my show or someone else's. And you know what? If you choose not to forgive, that is your right. That is your prerogative. If you want to stay mad, please be my guest. That's not where I live. That's not the lane that I populate. But if that is where you live, you do you. 2025 is a great year to do exactly what it is that you want to do. And you start it off and you keep it right there. But my hope and prayer is that you would know that this apology is sincere. It is not in any way forced. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. So, since you're not mad anymore, stick around and keep listening to The Shaletta Show.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know about anybody else, but when I saw Beyonce on Christmas Day during the Beyonce Bowl, I was inspired. I looked at her artistry. I looked at the performance. I looked at the band. I looked at how she performed with her daughter and all the celebrities that came out, Post Malone, Shaboozy. I mean, it was just an amazing display of creativity. Okay? Whether you like this woman or not, you can not take away her creativity and her confidence. She did an amazing job. And I was inspired. I was like, how can I be more creative? What do I need to do to step things up a notch? You know? And people are always telling me, you should write a book. And I'm like, hey, listen, I already have 4 books, actually 5. I got 4 books about my kids and 1 about the little girl who saw George Floyd die. I'm good on write books. It takes a long time. I'm tired of being closed up in the room, write books. Okay. I don't want to write a book about it. I was like, no, how about a memoir? You could really inspire other parents who have kids with special needs by telling your story. Right. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, how do you do that? You know, how do you start writing about your own life? How do you put that together? How do you put that on paper? It's one thing to talk about your life, but it's a whole nother thing to write it down in a way that either inspires, informs, or educates people in an engaging way that makes them want to keep picking up that book, to learn more about you, to share it with their friends. And, you know, it's 2025, and on one of y'all's bingo card is writing a book. Too oftentimes, we take books to the grave. I have a best friend. We have been best friends for 30 years. She's been writing this book for 28 of those years. Mm-hmm. She's been to workshops. She's been to classes. We've talked about it. She's sketched. She's got the characters. Book still sitting on the dining room table. I said, girl, why are you going to take that book to the grave? Don't make me have to publish this book posthumously. Let's make 2025 the year. If we have a book in us, that we get it out of us. And you know, I heard a wise man say once, success is not a dollar amount. Success is when you can take an idea from inside of your head and put it in your face. So whether you sell 1 copy or 1 million copies, the success of that is accomplishing it. And so I wanted to bring Hetty Tripp on about how to start and finish a memoir, if that is on your 2025 bingo card. Hetty has just finished a project about writing her memoir. She's got a virtual event coming up. And if you need some inspiration, she may be just the person you want to follow on social media and attend this virtual event. You don't even have to leave your house. Hetty is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Shaletta. Thank you for having me on your show. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I can hear you perfectly. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy holidays. Yes.
Now you,
Go
ahead.
Oh, you had such a wonderful introduction to book writing and memoirs and putting and not bringing it to the grave. You're absolutely on point.
Yes. And I just appreciate the work that you are doing and wanting to come on this show to inspire other people. Now, you were in a class and you got to take me back to the beginning, because you were in this class and learning how to write a memoir. And now y'all have an event coming up, and it's like four or five of y'all that were in, that were part of this project. And I love how you guys did it as a group, because as a writer, you know, writing a book and putting that together is so isolating.
That's the Loft Literary Center that has these year-long fellowships, where we work with a mentor, and my mentor was Sun Yung Shin, and she's written a ton of books. She's an amazing, amazing writer. And it was a cohort of five of us that worked every week for 3 hours for most of the year. But I want to go further back in terms of, well, how did this idea come up? And it was actually 2015. I found this small packet of yellow ragged papers, folded in four, tucked in a plastic bag tied with string. It was in my mother's things. And when I unfolded them, I couldn't read the writing. It was tiny. And so I had to scan each page and magnify it and then transcribe each word. And the story that came up was my father's fighting on the front lines of the Battle of Singapore. That is my homeland, Singapore. And this was his story that had not come to light till 2015. And my mother didn't even know about it. 2015, she was 101, still pretty feisty. That story kind of inspired me. I have to write it. So I wrote that story from his point of view. It appeared in the Stern's History Museum article. And then I started writing grants during COVID. So COVID was, in a way, it was isolating. But I started to write grants for myself. I first wrote grants, and this is the Central Minnesota Arts Board, Minnesota State Arts Board, grants to write poetry. I'm a poet. And I saw this pattern in my poetry, that this was a story of my life. So I brought all that together, got a grant, another grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to write a memoir. That and the fellowship with the Loft brought me to, you know, at least more than 200 pages right now of my manuscript. And then, Letter, I just received another grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to actually get a publisher to publish it in 2025. It's really amazing.
That is incredible. And, you know, what made you decide, you know, I'm not taking this book to the grave. I'm not taking this idea to the grave. It's not going to die on the phone with my girlfriend or in a conversation with my husband or my children. I'm going to get off my butt and get it done.
Well, my children are a fabulous family. You know some of them. You've met some of them. And sometimes I never can get a word edgewise when we're in the family together. So I try to sneak in little stories, but they don't really know my story. They don't really know the heritage that I came from. The title of my memoir at the moment is From Colonialism to Anti-Racism. I'm 76 years old, so we cover, you know, almost eight decades of my life and then my parents' life. I was born a British subject in the island of Singapore 3 years after World War II. So it goes from, you know, being colonized to coming to America to being identified as an other and then a mixed race. I'm mixed race Asian here, but I am Eurasian. And that's a whole piece within the memoir that I talk about. And then, you know, my present role is as an anti-racist. I'm the anti-racist director for Lyricality, a collective of poets and artists. So it's my journey to letter, and fascinating, I'd say.
Now, you have an event coming up where people can go online and support you and see what this journey has been all about. Tell me about that. How can people participate?
Right. So I think I sent you the link. It is the Loft Literary, and you can go on to Loft Literary Center. And it's not just me. It's the cohort that I've been working with. There are other writers. They're all Asian American and all with their own story. And, you know, of course, there is more than one story, as another wonderful writer, Carolyn Holbrook, is telling us. There's more to one story. And so here you have five stories, budding memoirists or advanced memoirists who will share little pieces of it. I think I get about 10 minutes of it, sharing how we have been writing and what's come out of it. But the point is that I do have a, well, you know, every time I read my manuscript, I keep changing it, but it's ready to go to a publisher, to an agent.
Wow. I'm so excited for you. This is such an exciting time. I want everybody out there to go to that Loft Literary Center website.
Yeah.
They have some amazing and great information. They have workshops and classes, and you can find a link so that you can peek in on Hetty and her team and the people who are in this cohort and listen to these conversations and feel and get inspired about maybe what could be your next project, putting pen to paper and writing your own story. Hetty, thank you so much for stopping by to inspire us and encourage us and engage us on this show today.
Yeah, and remember, if you are a BIPOC artist, there are grants out there. You do have to look for them. But I think, you know, with the COVID times and the times that we're in, our voices need to be heard.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because people think that, you know, I don't have enough money to write a book. I don't have enough money to get started. There are funds available that are out there for you. If you go to that Loft Literary Center website, they'll definitely point you in the right direction. Hetty, you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Shaletta. Do continue your fabulous work there.
I will. And you all stick around. We've got more fabulous show coming up. We're going to get up Sunday morning, but all anybody is going to be thinking about is Sunday night. The Vikings are playing the Lions in Detroit. Now, I had the amazing opportunity of being in Viking Stadium when Detroit came to town. The Detroit fans were amazing. We sat by some of them. We hung out with some of them. We ate lunch with some of them. They were great. But, you know, we lost that game. And we almost came back and won it. It was just so heartbreaking. I had my dad there. My parents were in town that weekend, because it was actually the weekend I won the Emmy. And so we just made it a part of our festivities to go to the Vikings game and see them play the Lions. And the Lions were then and are still on fire, as are our Minnesota Vikings. And so, you know, we're going to be playing in Detroit. You know, I don't know if they have a dome stadium. You know, it's not going to be as cold as it is here. But, you know, I'm just hoping that we don't have to be out in those elements.
They play inside, Shaletta.
They do? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, girl, because I don't want us to have to deal with those elements. You know how when you go to Green Bay, you have to play outside and it's cold and it's maybe damp and maybe snow on the ground. Snow might start falling. Okay, good. Thank you, girl. Thank you. Now, Lindsay, this is the thing, though. Some folks from Minnesota are taking planes, trains, and automobiles just to make sure that they get to this game. The Vikings have some very dedicated fans. Do you know anybody that's going to the game in Detroit?
Ooh, I don't know anybody that's traveling, but I know everybody's going to be tuned in. And I have some former teammates from college that are from Detroit as well. And so the last couple years with the Lions being relevant, a good team for the first time in decades, it's just a really exciting time for that city and for the NFL, to be quite honest. Like, you've never had teams meeting like this at the end of the season with such great records.
I know.
With the implications, like, you either get the one seed in a bye or you lose and you go all the way to a five seed and you're probably going to be on the road for the entirety of the playoffs. Like, that's huge. And so this is about as big of a game in Vikings history as anybody could conjure up, but certainly for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and they say the tickets are going for around $400 a piece on the low end to nearly $2,000 a piece on the high end. Now, I got to do a quick check because some folks are driving to the game. I got to figure out, and there's a snowstorm coming, like not in our area, but, you know, in other parts of the country. So I don't even know, like, if this storm that's coming and brewing across the country, again, not in our area, we won't be impacted, if that's going to have an impact on the drive. Okay, let me see. Drive from Minneapolis to Detroit. Okay, let's see how long that drive takes.
Are they going through Detroit? Are they going through Canada? It's usually the quicker.
Let's see. So my route is taking me through Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says it's 693 miles if anybody's driving tomorrow, 9 hours and 45 minutes. If you are going to the game from the Twin Cities, 9 hours and 45 minutes. So if you leave now, you'll have time to make it. Okay. That game is coming up tomorrow night. All eyes in the Twin Cities are going to be glued to our television. And you all make sure, if you are getting on the road, if you are going to the game in Detroit, be safe, be careful, have a good time, and keep us posted. I'm going to be checking out your social media posts. Don't go anywhere. I want you to check out the next hour of the Shaletta Show coming up.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.